Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance. The website is higherhumanperformance.com. Today's episode is 252, Business Books That Helped Define Me as a Business Guy, Part 3. Just go to the website, higherhumanperformance.com, plug in the number 252 in the search this website box, and you will go straight to the show notes where we have photographs, all kinds of show notes, and links to today's show. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you'll tell a friend. I've been doing this series on business books that helped define me. And so far, I've covered some books that, well, they're all of a penny a piece now, but that's because they're old. But old doesn't mean that they're not good. You know, they're very timeless. And you're going to think that I am stuck in a 1984 time warp because so far, the books that I have covered, they were published in that year, 1984. And such is the case with today's book, also published in 1984. William Onken Jr. wrote the book Managing Management Time. That is also a trademarked title, by the way. And he created this proprietary training system by the same name. He was born in Buffalo, New York, and he graduated from Princeton in physics. I will tell you that it shows. During World War II, he worked on the famed Manhattan Project. He worked mostly in management consultancy, and he established his own consulting firm in 1960. In 1974, he co-wrote an article in the November-December issue of the Harvard Business Review. That article was the genesis of this book, and it became one of the most requested reprints in the history of the Harvard Business Review. Ken Blanchard, he was the author of those most noted One-Minute Manager series of books that were very popular back in the 80s, I guess, mainly. And Ken Blanchard, he published his own version of Onken's Managing Management Time in collaboration with Bill Onken in 1989. So about 5 years after the book that I'm citing today, The One-Minute Manager wrote a book. That book was entitled The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. Now, even though Blanchard's brand, The One-Minute Manager, it was ridiculously strong at the time, and I would imagine, I don't know this, but I would imagine that that book garnered much wider fame than Onken's original book. And I was just never attracted to The One-Minute Manager series, mostly because the business parable, the business fable, I just find it ridiculously boring. I'm just not fond of the genre. They seem hokey to me, mostly. And so I will confess that I've never read, that's not true. I started to say I've never read a business parable that I found attractive. Hang on here. Within arm's reach, I've got one. I've got one that I kind of did like. I don't know that this will make the list, but this was written by the Arbinger Institute called Leadership and Self-Deception, Getting Out of the Box. And if memory serves, it's sort of written in a parable kind of fashion. I did find that book. I enjoyed that book. I liked that book. Not sure that it'll make the list, but I will confess that. So there's one. One out of all the business parable kinds of books that, okay, kind of liked that one. I did buy a copy of Blanchard's collaboration with Onken, The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, but I have to admit that there was a book that was entitled, and I've got it somewhere. There's a book that came out entitled The 59-Second Employee, How to Stay 1 Second Ahead of Your One-Minute Manager, and I found it highly entertaining. but you can imagine that. I mean, given the title. But let's get back to Mr. Onken's work. This book that is part three of this series, Managing Management Time, subtitled Who's Got the Monkey? It is by William Onken Jr. And in fact, Ken Blanchard, who wrote the 1 Minute Manager series, he wrote the foreword for this book. You can find a copy of this book, just like the others, for a penny over at Amazon. So this now means that I've given you three books, three great books that you can buy for a penny each. Okay, the shipping will be $3.99, so they're $4 each. So that's $12 for three really great books. And don't fret about the fact that they all share the same date of publication, 1984, because all of these books have messages that hold up over time. And I tell you the simple reason why. People have not changed. Yes, technology has changed. Yes, economies have changed. Yes, industries have changed. And a lot of other things have changed, but people have not changed. And like the other two books, the one cited in episode 250 and the one cited in episode 251, this book is focused on people. Makes sense, right? I mean, the podcast is Higher Human Performance. You know, but unlike the others, whose authors I admired at a personal level because I found out more about who and what they were, I have to admit that I really didn't do that so much with this book, because at the time of reading this, Onken was a complete mystery to me. But thankfully, throughout this book, he reveals some key parts of his life. And the book has enough biographical information, autobiographical information, that it serves the reader with a real solid understanding of Mr. Onken and his company. And by the way, his company was based here in Dallas. It still is based here in Dallas. When I bought the book in 1984, I'm almost certain that I was initially drawn to the illustration on the front cover, and I've taken a photograph of my copy of this book that you can see over at the show notes. Just go to higherhumanperformance.com and enter in the number 252 in the search this website, and you'll see a copy. In fact, you'll see me holding not only a copy of Managing Management Time, but you'll also see me holding a copy of The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. So I'm kind of, today I'm kind of giving you a two for one. I was never fond of time management books. I still am not real fond of time management systems. But when I first read the book, I was reminded of a neighbor who lived two doors down from us in the early to mid 70s when I was just a kid. I was told by the adults in the neighborhood, he was an efficiency expert. Well, I was fascinated by that, mainly because I didn't have any idea what that meant, but it sounded cool. But he practiced karate, and sometimes we could see him wearing his karate getup when he would go to and fro wherever he was going to, you know, beat people up or whatever it is karate guys did. Our dads, not only were our dads not karate guys, our dads were not efficiency experts either. So, you know, he was quite the man of mystery about the neighborhood. And I realized early on in reading this book that Mr. Onken was likely an efficiency expert. Now, you don't hear that phrase much anymore. Back in the 70s, you really were hearing it. And as I found out about the neighbor who was an efficiency expert, I would occasionally come across that term. This book consists of 6 chapters, including the index. It's a 244-page book. My copy is a hardback copy filled with quite a few illustrations that, well, it's best to say they obviously emanate from the mind of a math physicist sort of a guy. And yet, I would have to tell you that the book isn't written in an overly academic fashion. In fact, I think most people feel like the tone of the book is very down to earth. And at the beginning of the book, there is a section entitled Key Dilemmas of Organizational Life. All right, so catch this. Key Dilemmas of Organizational Life. And here's what Mr. Onken writes. Where did the time go today? Tens of thousands of managers are asking this of their secretaries around quitting time every day. And so the first chapter basically reveals and reviews three objective sources of a manager's time management problems. Number one, boss-imposed time. Number two, system-imposed time. And number three, self-imposed time. And so Onken, he uses juggling oranges as a metaphor for managing these areas of our life in business. And that means that managers have a three orange problem, and professionals have to work on keeping all three oranges in the air at the same time. Chapter two is called The Management Molecule, and it is a comprehensive description of how managers need to formulate their own molecular list to help them manage all of their daily interactions. Every phone call, every interoffice encounter, every meeting, I mean, the author, he includes them all. Now, this chapter was not, it was so not up my alley when I first read it, because I've already told you, I really wasn't a management time kind of a guy, and I'm still not. And so I had to reread it, and it wasn't fun at all, because I've already told you, I just wasn't a fan of that whole kind of thing. Now, I'm a fan of efficiency, and I'm a big fan of processes, but you know, today we've got all these productivity podcasts and blogs and you know, get up early and do this and do that. I don't, for me, I think we have a natural rhythm, and some of us are geared one way and some are geared another way. I am not a morning person. I have never been a morning person. To tell me to get up at 4:30 in the morning, could I do it? Yeah. Would it be beneficial? No, it wouldn't. I mean, I'm just hitting REM sleep at 4:30. Because I'm a night owl. So I just don't believe in real absolutes when it comes to this productivity thing, you know, this one size fits all. And so because of that, and that was true even in 1994, I had to reread this second chapter, but I was determined to grind it out. And I think you should too, should you choose to invest a penny and buy this book, because it drives home the point of controlling your time and work as much as possible. And he ends the chapter using an illustration of a coworker, and I love this, a coworker who is in a habit of accosting you every Monday morning with stories about his Sunday afternoon golf game. You know, you've likely experienced something similar to that. And so you're polite, and you suffer this time waste every Monday. But it costs you an hour every Monday, and it drives you crazy. And you would love to discourage this behavior, but you're polite, and you don't. And by performing this molecular list, and don't let the terminology scare you, by performing the molecular list to better manage your time, you are now armed to stop this madness. And that's what Onken argues, and here's what he writes. And I'm quoting, "Next Monday, when he starts his story, you will open your desk drawer and pull out your molecular list to see if his name is on it. If not, you'll say to him, 'I don't have to listen to this. Your name is not on my molecule. See for yourself.' With that, you thrust the list under his nose and motion him toward the door. His feelings, since he is an obvious amateur, will no doubt be hurt. But guilt feelings will no longer afflict you. Your molecular list gives you solid moral justification for insisting upon first things first." I mean, it's funny, isn't it? But it's pretty terrific. I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I could never do that. And that was my reaction, but I had a bigger reaction. And it's the theme in all of these books so far. And it's going to continue to be the theme until I finish this series, by the way. And I've got at least one more that I'm going to do. And the theme is candor. Crazy. Seemingly insane, straightforward conversation where you call it like you see it. How can you not be attracted to a guy who can write that? Well, I was. In fact, I still am. He went on to say this as he ended chapter two. "But suppose, on the other hand, his name is on your molecular list. What then? You will patiently hear him out, of course. And the time lost in so doing, you will charge off to the administrative overhead cost of molecular maintenance. I love that. I love that. Now, I won't go chapter by chapter, but here's a list of the chapter titles, and this will give you some sense of the book. And there are some subtitles below each chapter, by the way, which I won't bore you with. But chapter one is Principal Objective Sources of the Manager's Time Management Problems. Chapter two, as I just said, is the management molecule. Chapter three, Principal Subjective Sources of the Manager's Time Management Problem. Chapter four, Building Molecular Support. Chapter five, Maintaining Molecular Stability. Chapter six, Maximizing Leverage for High Value Output. Keep in mind, the guy was a trained physicist. Now, the book, you know, you don't have to be a physicist or a math guru to understand, read the book, because I'm certainly not. And even though I'm not fond of the business parable format, I will say this. You may find the one-minute manager meets the monkey to be an easier to digest delivery of this message. One advantage of that book, The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, is that there are pages where the authors distill an idea in a single sentence or two. And I'm going to list those here because I think they're gems of wisdom. And I think you can get the gist of it and a good sense of whether or not you want to investigate this book further or both of these books. So let's run these down. Here's the first one. It's tough to work for a nervous boss, especially if you are the one who's making your boss nervous. You know, come on. I mean, how can you just not love this stuff? Why is it that some managers are typically running out of time while their staffs are typically running out of work? For every monkey, there are two parties involved, one to work it and one to supervise it. Things not worth doing are not worth doing well. Experience is not what happens to you. It's what you do with what happens to you. The more you get rid of your people's monkeys, the more time you have for your people. And boy, that one's true. And then there's this page out of the book, page 59 on my paperback copy of The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. It's entitled Onken's Rules of Monkey Management. The dialogue between a boss and one of his or her people must not end until all monkeys have, rule one, descriptions. All monkeys must have descriptions. The next moves are specified. Rule number two, the meeting must not end until all monkeys have owners. That is, the monkeys are assigned to a person. Rule number three, insurance policies, the risks are covered. And rule number four, monkey feeding and checking up appointments. The time and place for follow-up is specified. Listen, this is all predicated and built upon that thing that you and I have heard all of our lives. Monkey, monkey, who's got the monkey? Who's got the monkey on their back? Who's got the task? Who's got the job? Who's got the responsibility to do this thing? That's what this is all about. The one-minute manager meets the monkey. Okay, back to the single-page sentence bullet points from that book, The One-Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. All monkeys must be handled at the lowest organizational level consistent with their welfare. Let these sink in now because these are brilliant. These really are brilliant. The best way to develop responsibility in people is to give them responsibility. Monkey insurance policies. Number one, recommend, then act. Number two, act, then advise. Practice hands-off management as much as possible and hands-on management as much as necessary. Never let the company go down the drain simply for the sake of practicing good management. Assigning involves a single monkey. Delegation involves a family of monkeys. The purpose of coaching is to get into position to delegate. If you always agree with your boss, one of you is not necessary. And finally, swift and obvious penalties pursue those who treat other people's requirements in a lighthearted, cavalier fashion. That bears repeating. Swift and obvious penalties pursue those who treat other people's requirements in a lighthearted, cavalier fashion. In many companies, in many organizations, it's called respect. Respecting your coworkers, respecting your... The final chapter of The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey is entitled The Ultimate Conversation. And it's just 2 pages long, but it's a pretty terrific way to end today's show because it properly distills the benefits of Bill Onken's brilliant system. Here's what it says. In the past, I spent much of my time fighting fires. Now I can prevent most of the fires by spending just a little time in advance. In the past, I spent a great deal of my time reacting to other people. Now I spend a great deal of my time in proactive measures. These include doing some advanced planning for a change so that we can do the right things the right way the first time instead of having to do them over so often. I came to realize that when people throughout the organization have responsibility for managing their own monkeys, it's hard to tell who's a worker and who's a manager because everyone is committed to doing what it takes to do the best job possible. Besides, the changes in my own personal and professional life, I've begun to share my learnings with others that I know, especially those time-pressed individuals who never seem to have enough time for their work, family, or friends. I help them to see the dynamics of monkey management and to become monkey managers in the zoo of their own choice. This new way of life has changed my life and the lives of those around me. Finally, perhaps the greatest lesson I have learned about monkey management at work and at home is that there are always more monkeys clamoring for attention than we have the time to manage. Unless we're extremely careful which ones we accept responsibility for, it's very easy to wind up caring for the wrong monkeys while the really important ones are starving for lack of attention. If we thoughtlessly try to handle all of them, our efforts will be diluted to the point where none of them are healthy. I hope this monkey tale will help you as much as it has helped me, which is enormously. I'm constantly reminded of its benefits. For example, as I write this, these final words, I'm alone in my office. My door is open. And as I glance at the new photograph of my family, I notice one major change. I'm now in the picture. And so ends The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, which, as I said, was written by Kenneth Blanchard, William Onken Jr., and Hal Burrows. And it is all based on the Bill Onken Jr. book, Managing Management Time, Who's Got the Monkey? It is a book that has helped define me as a business guy because it's absolutely true. Monkey, monkey, who's got the monkey? And so many times people try to excuse themselves or they try to escape their responsibility to deal with the task and to do the work by putting that upon someone else, most notably by taking a piece of paper, for instance, to their boss and saying, hey, you know, look at this. And the minute the boss reaches his hand out and takes the paper, the monkey has been transferred. I learned it very early in my career in 1984, due in large part to this book. I was a young leader at the time, and the lessons have never been lost on me. I continue to use these principles today. There's probably not a week that goes by that I don't sit down across from some leader, some manager, and spew forth some of the wisdom that I was taught by William Onken Jr. in the book Managing Management Time. I hope this helps. I hope you've enjoyed part 3. I've enjoyed kind of doing this series. Episode 253, that'll come out later in the week, the Lord willing. And I will bring you another book, and I will go ahead and give you a little bit of a heads up. It, too, is going to share the same trait that you have seen in all of these, and that is crazy candor. Open, honest, straightforward communication. My name is Randy Cantrell. Again, the website is Higher Human Performance. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you subscribing. If you are so inclined, go over to iTunes and leave me a review. There are all kinds of ways that you can connect with me. They're available over at the website at higherhumanperformance.com. Thanks for listening.